Hello and welcome to Second Row Conversations. I am Letitia Plowden and I'm your host on the Second Row. Thank you for joining me today. So I have a special guest with me on the Second Row. Her name is Nicole Cogdill Quick, and I'm so excited to have her here with me on today to have this conversation. It's not an interview. It is a conversation. So please don't be nervous. It is all right. It's a conversation. So just a little bit about Ms. Cogdill Quick. So in the interview, I may say Cogdill Quick, and I'll explain why I may say that. So I have some notes, so please bear with me. So Nicole Cogdill Quick, she is a daughter, sister, auntie, friend, confidant, therapist, church member, mother, and a wife. All of those things, and then some. She is a licensed professional counselor as well as an LPC supervisor. And she is also an addictions counselor, licensed addictions counselor. She has served in the counseling field for 22 years in the public and private sector. And she is here to be with us. And I'm so excited to have her here. So again, welcome to the Second Row.
She
is also my coworker, my colleague. So at our job where we work, we call each other by last names. Right. So if you hear me say Cogdill Quick, that's why. It's not being disrespectful, not calling her Nicole by not calling her Nicole, but that's just what we do
right
at work, right? Yeah, so okay. So Cogdill Quick, thank you again for joining me on the Second Row. And I've given a little bit of information. Yes. I know you were kind of nervous when I asked for your bio.
I was.
This is not something that's going to be so professional. And so it's just, I needed some more information about you. And gotcha. I'm glad you sent it. So you are all of those things and
yes.
more.
Yes.
But first things first, one thing I want to ask you is, what are three words that your friends would use to describe you? How would they describe you?
Ooh.
I know. Ooh. Start off hard, right?
Ooh.
Right. Okay.
Sweet,
okay.
Supportive,
okay.
Sweet, supportive. You said three,
three words. How would they? If I met one of your friends, and I say, "Hey, tell me, how would you describe Nicole?" So you said sweet, supportive,
fun.
Fun.
Maybe fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So those are good words to describe you, right? So supportive. And
yes.
as a counselor, that's in your blood, I'm sure,
is it
being
is.
As supportive. So how do you support your friends? How do you feel like you support those, your friends and those that you work with? How do you think you do that?
Listener. I'm a good listener.
Okay.
So listening, always having that ear
okay.
to hear or to be able to listen.
Okay.
Also, whatever they're in, you know, whatever their goals are in life, I like to help,
right.
you know, push. I get excited,
okay.
you know, for
okay.
other people's dreams and endeavors. Okay. So just that you're in it, we're in it.
We're in,
you
know, it, right?
We're in it. What are
yes.
we doing?
Yes,
so,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
one of those.
And I can attest to that because when I came to you and said, hey, this is what the Lord has placed in me. This is what the Lord has told me. And I think I should do it. And you were, yes, let's do it. I'm excited.
Yes.
Where are we going to start? What
yes.
are we doing? So so I can attest to the support. So fun. What does that mean?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
No, and more.
Yes, you can, girl. Yes, you can. Tell me all about it.
I don't know. So just
okay.
adventurous a little
okay.
bit. I like to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Not afraid to try new things
okay.
for the most part. I like to laugh. So
okay.
I laugh all the time.
Okay.
So probably when I shouldn't laugh,
okay.
but I laugh all the time. So it's just okay. just fun, just enjoyable, light. Just,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Seeing the positive, I
yes.
think it was one thing I can also attest to. To you and the way you live is that you look at the situation and try to find, okay, how can we make it better? What's the positive in it? Is that
yes.
a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. So in your adventurous
yes.
life, you are a runner.
I am.
So tell us about that. How did you start? How did that begin for you?
Well, initially I ran track in high school. So
okay.
all the way back so many years ago.
Okay.
And so when, and just kind of like to be active, but you know, life has been life.
Right.
And so when COVID came along, a friend of mine and I decided to start walking, you know, because it was go to work, come home. And so finally had time to, you know, get out and do enjoy the day and the nature. So we were walking and she was like, you know, in 6 months we should be, you know, be able to run. And I was like, I have not run in over 20 years.
Wow.
So we started this app, C to 5K, and we've been running ever since. So since August 2020 up until now.
Wow. Yeah. So what, you do marathons?
I have done a marathon.
You've done a marathon.
Yes.
Okay.
Last October. Okay. And I'm trying to redeem myself and do it again this year in October. Okay. So yeah.
Okay, cool. So that was how many miles?
26.2 miles.
26.2 miles. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And I felt probably 14 of them. It was very painful. Okay. But it was an experience.
Right.
It was an experience. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool. So also, and I didn't talk about it in the Bible, but you sent it to me. You were born in Tucson, Arizona?
Yes.
Were you raised there? You lived there? Or how did you end up in Florence?
Okay, so my dad was in the military, Air Force.
Okay.
And so I was born in Arizona. I believe we lived there till I was 3 years old.
Okay.
And then we moved to Missouri. And then we were there for about 5 years.
Okay.
Then we moved to Germany. And we were there for about 3.5 years. And so then we moved to South Carolina.
Okay.
In 92.
Okay.
And he retired.
Okay.
At Shaw Air Force Base.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. I was born at Shaw Air Force
Were
Base.
Were you?
I was.
Oh, so
I'm an Air Force baby. It is a small world. Yes, yes,
I didn't
yes,
know
yes.
that. See?
Yeah, see?
Okay.
Welcome to the second row.
There you go.
You never know. So awesome. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So tell me some things in the traveling. So you said you got here, you moved here. How old were you?
Well, I was just turning 13 when we moved to South Carolina.
South Carolina. Okay.
I think we came in November 92.
Okay.
And I turned 13 in March of 93.
Okay. Okay.
If my time is right.
Okay.
And then I graduated from Sumter High.
Okay.
And then I came to Florence and attended Francis Marion University.
Okay.
And after I graduated Francis Marion, I stayed here in Florence and I've been here ever since.
Here
we are.
So did you always know you wanted to go into counseling or therapy? Was that something that you knew you always wanted to do?
No, I wanted to be a teacher.
Okay.
So when we were little, my sister and I, we'd be in the basement and we'd be playing teacher. Of course, we had our little chalkboard and our books and you do this and you go sit down.
Right.
And I didn't say it's recess time.
Yes.
You know, being bossy.
Uh-huh.
So, I always wanted to be a teacher, and that's in my blood too, just to teach. And so over the years, mom was like, no, I don't think you really want to be a teacher, you know, in the school system. Yeah. So, but in high school, probably my senior year, maybe.
Okay.
Friends would just say, you know, you're a good listener. And when they had problems, they would call, and it wasn't anything I was seeking, but it just kind of came. So, that kind of fell. So when I went to, and I was always interested in either medicine, like biology and stuff, or psychology.
Okay.
And so when I went to Francis Marion, I chose psychology.
Psychology.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it just kind of went through that path.
Went through that path.
Okay.
So I had a major in psychology, minor in sociology. I did not prepare well when I was in undergrad. So of course, when you don't know what to do, what do? You go back to school.
So
I went back to school to get my master's in psychology. And part of that was doing an internship. And part of the internship was going into a counseling facility.
Okay.
And I needed an LPCS, a licensed professional counselor supervisor.
Right.
So at that time, it was very few places that had them available. And so I ended up going to a substance use treatment place outpatient here in Florence. And that was like a whole new world for me.
Right.
And I was like, oh,
okay,
this is awesome.
Yes.
This is amazing.
Yes. Never a dull moment.
Like substance use in Florence. And so, because that was never my lifestyle, anything that I was gravitated to and wouldn't recognize it, you know, at that time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was pretty bitty.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's been, yeah.
And so that's how you've kind of gotten here.
Yes.
Substance addictions counselor and then LPC, licensed professional counselor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, awesome. Yes. So Shifting gears a little bit.
Okay.
So you are married.
I am.
For 18 years.
18 years.
Yes. And married to the pastor.
I am married to the pastor.
Was that ever in, you know, you set your goals in life and where you want to be? Right.
Ever.
Okay.
Never, ever. Never, ever, never, ever. Okay. I never, ever, never, ever, ever wanted to marry a preacher,
okay,
minister. None of that.
So no. Where did you grow up in church? Where
I did grow up in church.
Okay.
For the most part.
And I know you traveled a lot and did whatever.
Did.
But,
okay. We did. I think my parents, they weren't really raised in church, but I know that my dad really got into the church.
Okay.
When we were in Arizona.
Okay.
Because I remember I was supposed to get baptized and that was too much water. So I backed out. So couldn't handle that.
I'm
so,
good. No. Thank you.
So it took me, I did get baptized, but I was 23 years old when I got baptized. And after I got baptized, I cried like a baby because I was, one, scared. But the other thing is, I survived the water. So there you go.
To God be the glory.
To God be the glory. But I cried like a baby. You know, when it's over, you just kind of let it go.
Yes.
Let it go.
Just let it go. Yes. Okay.
But so we started going to church probably when I was younger.
Okay.
And we did travel. We always did connect with the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always enjoy church.
Okay.
I do know that. So when we were in Missouri, that was when my spiritual journey began.
Okay.
So I accepted Christ into my life when I was 6 years old.
Okay.
And it was during fall revival. So fall is my favorite time of year.
Okay.
And I love fall revival.
Yes.
Love them.
Wow.
So what I've learned over the years is, you know, being in church and loving to hear the word of God and listening to gospel music and stuff like that. It was just like, I just love being in that place.
Okay.
And I just love being in the presence of God.
Amen.
And so that's where I love to be.
Okay, so, cool.
So I didn't want it through the pastor, but.
Right. Just want to go in church and sit and get the word.
Yes, like blend into the walls and the pews. I was
Absolutely.
A pew member for a very long time.
Really?
Very, 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 very.
So did
long
you
time.
Participate in like activities at church? Like did you sing on a choir? Did you usher? Did
when
you...
I was younger, yes. Because it was a smaller church.
Of course.
And so, you know, dad is in, so my dad was a minister or is a minister. So we had to do it all. We had to sing on the choir.
Uh-huh.
We had to usher.
Uh-huh.
We had the Friday night shut-ins.
Yes.
We had the Sunday morning
Sunday school.
And then we had service.
Come
and
on.
Then we had to go to the afternoon service.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, yeah.
All and the things.
Children's Bible study. Oh, yeah.
All the things. And so, same with me. We didn't have, like, a lot of afternoon services, but we did have the Sunday school and, we of course, church service. And then once I got a little older, the Bible studies and then going to this church and going to visit these people after church, and then just always something.
Always something. It was
this
Sunday,
always church.
No, it wasn't like school stuff, but it was church.
Just always church.
That was the socialist.
And I wonder, I think for me, that was one of the reasons why I said I didn't want to be married to a pastor. Mm. Do you think that's similar to your situation a little bit? Or it was just...
No, I didn't trust them. So...
Come on, let's talk
about it.
You didn't trust.
I just saw a lot of things
and I just didn't.
I just didn't trust.
Okay.
I just say I didn't trust ministers. I didn't trust pastors.
Really?
Yeah, I just didn't, and I didn't want. I didn't want anything to do
with that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because what we see and what we experience, even though it's not us experiencing it per se, like you weren't married to a pastor, at the time,
right?
But you saw it.
Yeah.
And that. Put something in your mind. It's like, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So no, we don't have to go into depth with that.
I don't even know where that came. I don't know exactly what it was, but I just know as I grew up, because I was, men that were attracted to me or that I attracted were ministers and pastors.
Okay.
And I was like, no, can't, ain't able. You're not the one. We can't do this. You know, like, what are you? Oh, no, I'm so sorry. You know,
because
so,
I'm not going to be a first lady. I'm not married.
Yeah.
I'm not marrying a pastor
or
any leader in the church.
Exactly.
Because I'm good. I want to just be a parishioner.
Yeah.
And I'm good.
Yes, I'm great.
Wow. So when you married your husband, he was, mm-hmm. was he a pastor?
He was not.
He was not a pastor.
He was not. The Lord. Look what the Lord does. Look.
Isn't it amazing how we say what we're not going to do?
Exactly.
I know I've heard people say, I've seen posts like, never say never. Because mm-hmm. God will have you never in.
Right.
All the time.
Yes.
He will show you. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Say what you're never going to do and watch how I work.
Yes.
So, he was not a pastor.
He's not a pastor.
While y'all dating and all the things, was he going to church? Was he attending church at the time?
He was.
He was.
He was attending church. And he was pretty active in his church, still on his spiritual journey as well. And so that was, but that was one of the things that was like a non-negotiable was you have to go to church. You have to love God. You know, you have to know him and you got to go to church.
Right.
You know, one of those things. So. Okay. That was just, if you can't do that, then
we can't do this.
I don't want the pastor, but you got to go to church.
Okay. I don't want the pastor, but I need a man that loves the Lord.
Yes, that loves the Lord. And who knows him?
And who knows him?
Yes.
There's a difference.
There is a huge difference.
Talk about it. Let's talk about that. So what's the difference? There are people that say they love the Lord mm-hmm. and they say they know him.
Mm-hmm.
But do they really? Do you really know
him? How do
him?
You know him? Mm-hmm. It's not even about I need to see that you know him. It's not you telling me that you know him. Right. I need to know by your actions that you know him.
Yes. So interesting enough, yesterday, Sunday school.
Okay.
Because we do Sunday school.
Right.
The topic was fruit of the spirit.
Mm.
So I need to see that you are producing fruit that represents, that show me.
Yes.
That you know him.
Know him. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Because people can talk about it all day.
All day. Mm-hmm. Go to church all their lives and never know Jesus.
Right.
Ever know him. Ever.
Interesting.
So, yeah. I need you.
So he understood this is what we're doing.
Yes.
And he was okay with that.
He was good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he was doing, he would do morning messages and stuff. He wasn't particularly like a minister or anything.
Okay.
He was a lay person. And in his church. And so he would do sometimes some Sunday messages or he would do the children's ministry message. So it was, you know, it was in there. So, you're active.
You
know about him.
But you're still not a pastor.
You're still not a pastor. We can do this. We can teach Sunday school.
Right.
We can come to the afternoon service.
Yes.
And we might even speak every once in a while.
Uh-huh. But that's it.
That's it. That's where we cut it off.
Okay.
That's where we cut it off.
Right. So fast forward. You get married.
We get married.
Okay.
So he's from a different town than I am.
Okay.
So I told him I wasn't moving to his town. So, I had a whole bunch of stipulations going on.
A lot of non-negotiables going on.
A whole bunch. I'm not doing that.
Okay.
Cows cross the road there. Okay. I'm not doing that. So I wait. Yes.
Okay.
So we got married. He moved to Florence.
Okay.
With me, where I am, mm-hmm. and then he started attending the church.
Okay.
That I was attending at the time, and my pastor did our premarital counseling and things like that. And so, just over time, I could tell his growth.
Mm-hmm.
And my pastor, my original pastor, he's a teacher, so he teaches, and so we would go to Bible study. Just church. He just heard his sermons, teaching. So I saw the growth. And over time, it was like, the Lord has called me. Like, to do what?
What are we doing? Call you to support the pastor? Call
right.
me. Like, what are we doing?
But I did know it. I saw it. Okay. I did see it on him after a while. So I was like, okay. So he can be, an associate minister. So he doesn't have to,
lead people.
Yeah.
He's not the head. He can just support the pastor.
Yes. And there's a whole bunch of other people here, associate ministers. So, you get in line for your more teaching.
Right.
Get more teaching. Okay. And then,
So you were good with that.
That was great.
Okay. And how long did that last?
That lasted, he did his initial sermon in 2007. December 2007?
Okay.
I believe it was December 2007.
Okay. I know time goes
off. I think it's December 2007. Yes.
Okay.
Maybe. Around that time. Yes. And so, And so then it was great. It was great. It was wonderful. It was good. A lot of teaching, a lot of, you know, every once in a while I go out and preach somewhere else or, you know, support the pastor, take, you know, go to revivals with them. And,
revivals, because we like revivals.
We love revivals. And then when other churches would ask for someone to come and preach for them because their pastor's sick or whatever, sometimes they would call my pastor. And so he would send somebody out. And so he sent my husband out one Sunday and we've been there ever since.
Get out.
Yes. Ever since. It was supposed to be like one Sunday. Ever since. And it's been 8 years.
It's been 8 years.
8 years. Eight. Yes.
So have you had did you have the conversation like, hey honey, so we're going back to this church again today?
Yes. That was exactly the conversation.
Okay.
We're going back. Well, how much longer we have to go? Anything. Wow. So it was just however long they need me, baby. Okay.
Okay.
So, all
right. Oh, so how have you dealt with that? Of this is supposed to be a temporary thing, mm-hmm. and yet we are still here. This is becoming more of a permanent. It's 8 years. So how have you transitioned from, I'm just going to be parishioner, I love the Lord, I go support him, to now I am sitting on the second row, if that's where you sit.
Yes,
right. Okay.
I do.
You do sit on the second
row.
And
I had to be prompted to sit on the second
row.
Really?
Talk about resistance. Where would you
back on the very back
kind
row.
Kind of quick.
Yes, I would. And one of the assistant ministers came to me one Sunday. She came to visit one Sunday. She was like, baby, you got to move up. And I was like, I really don't. But she was like, you got to move up. She was like, move up to the front, move up closer. And so, of course, I was like, ugh, I don't want to move to the front. I just want to sit in the back because I want to be a pew member, right? So, and we're just visiting.
We're still just visiting.
We are just visiting.
This is not a permanent
thing. We are not getting comfortable at all. Mm. And so one Sunday, my dad came to visit us. And my dad, he's so funny. But I heard him. I came to church a little bit later, or in the middle of Sunday school or something. And I heard a voice. I was like, that sounds like my daddy's voice. And so when I opened up the door, that was my daddy. And guess where he was sitting? He was sitting on the very front pew. I said, now, if he's going to sit up there, I know I need to move up.
You need to move up, ma'am. You need to move up.
If you are visiting.
And you on the front row. And I'm here with my husband who's sitting in the pulpit. I need to move up to the second row.
I need to move up. Yes.
Okay.
But okay. So that year was pretty good.
Okay.
He had actually applied or gone to other churches and preached. And it just wasn't the right fit. It was like, you know, well, God has called me to be a pastor. If you say so.
Okay.
You know, then. Okay. Okay. But, you know, I'll go and support you and all this. And then, you know, it just wasn't the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got to the church that we are currently in, it was the right fit.
It was the right.
You know,
it felt
the,
right.
Yeah. Like the Goldilocks and the Three Little Bears, the Three Bears. So it was like, you know, this bed's too big. This bed's too small. This was just right.
Just right.
And it was just right.
Okay.
For him, and I guess eventually for us.
Okay.
Yes.
So for him.
Yeah.
And eventually for us.
Yes.
Was it hard for you?
Oh, yeah.
To get to that point to say, I am now the first lady of this congregation, and I'm now having to deal with all that comes along with that. Was that a hard?
The hard thing was actually transitioning to the church, because I had been at my church for 19 years.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, it was like, now you got to go with him. Mm. And nobody wanted to hear that I didn't want to go. I was not trying to go. So, of course, my resistance. But I was not trying to go. So
because you were comfortable.
I was comfortable where I was. And we know God doesn't deal with comfort, right?
He does. We want to be comfortable.
Yes. And I was.
And you were.
Right.
It was just right.
My seat was cut out just for me.
Right. I can go to the revivals. I can go back home.
Yes.
I don't have to talk to anyone. I mean, I can talk, but I don't have to. I'm not in the front. I'm not in the second row. Mm-hmm. I can just do what I do and leave.
Do what I do and leave.
But you're right. God does not.
He does
work
not
in comfort.
Do comfort. So it took me a good while to get comfortable with that. And then it's a smaller church, but everybody already knew their role. Everybody already had their place.
Okay.
And so even my husband, when he came, he had his place because he's the pastor. And so I'm coming along with some baggage. And of course I have my daughter with me. So, or our daughter. And so it's kind of like, well, where do we belong? What are we supposed to do? Because every space is already taken. Every role is already filled.
Yes.
And I don't want to come in and push anybody out the way or try to take over and, you know, cause that strife and division.
Okay.
And again, I'm still struggling with, I had to leave my home church. And I
where I had my place.
Where I had
my place. Because I had a place there.
I didn't have a place. That was, you were my, this sounds so bad.
No.
But it was, you know, we were together. So it was like, we are the Quicks. And that's what we are. But now we have Pastor Quick and his wife or whatever. And so it was kind of like, I was like, I need you to give me something to do. You know, tell me what I can do, whether it's, you know, praise and worship, whether it's teaching Sunday school or, you know, just give me something. Okay. And so I think for me, because I like to observe as well too, and not just really jump in, but I mean, that's probably the reason I sat on the back to kind of see where I could, you know, to get that eyes view of
where do I
belong?
Fit? Yeah.
What can I do? Where do I, you know, what is everybody else doing and how can I support them in it without taking over or trying, you know, getting in the way. Mm-hmm. So my thing is I want to help, not hinder. And so that was part of my transitioning and figuring out where I fit in.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that isn't a concern, an area that First Ladies do have is where do I fit in? Because everyone has their roles, right? You have your praise and worship team. You have your Sunday school teachers. You have your ushers. You have the kitchen ministry, you have those who work with the young people, everyone has a role. And so I think sometimes women or first ladies just feel lost because especially if you are growing in your spiritual walk and you want to work for the Lord.
Yes.
Work for the Lord. Where do I fit in the kingdom?
Yes.
Where do I fit in the kingdom? I don't want to just sit on the second row. I want to actively be a part of this ministry. And I think that is a point. There's a issue for some women or first ladies because they don't know where they fit in.
Right. And it's and not on the second row.
I don't want to be on the second row.
I want to be part of the congregation. I want to be part of, you know, but once again, God separates us. And so I believe just like being a pastor is a calling. I feel that being a first lady is a calling.
Absolutely.
So it's nothing you take lightly. It's nothing you just happen to stumble into.
No.
It's something that God has definitely had on his mind for a good while.
Exactly.
And he just didn't, you know.
He didn't maybe share. He tried to share.
And I didn't want to hear
and
it.
And you bucked at
it. I did. I really did.
He showed it to you. Is what he tries to, you know, tell us. But we don't always listen.
He gives us that little flag. Like, yeah, whatever. That's not for me.
That's not for me. That's for you, honey.
That's for you.
Yeah. And God bless you. But no, I'm good.
I'm good.
I know for my husband, Jeremy always says he did not. That was not his thing. Mm-hmm. Preaching, pastoring was not his thing. And he always says if someone tells you that was their goal, something's not right.
Yeah.
Because he ran from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just didn't want to be. That's just wasn't his thing. Like, no, I'm good. I'll sit back. I'll support. At the time, I support my dad. I'll get in where I fit in where I get in. I get in where I fit in. And that's that. But that was the calling. And God knew.
Mm-hmm.
And do you look back over your life and see how God prepared you?
I do.
For this?
I do.
For this role?
I do.
Yeah.
Especially, I think other people saw it before I did, of course. And so it's just the... I don't know. I guess my demeanor just because I was not a real people person. So I'm an introvert with a lot of extrovert qualities now, but an introvert. People didn't know my name or they didn't know I could talk for a very long time.
At your home church.
Yeah, the one I was there for 19 years because I didn't talk to anybody. I went to church. When I say I didn't, I went to church. I praise and worship, Sunday school,
all you did
services.
Everything.
I did everything. revivals, and I was out the side door, you know, so it wasn't any hanging around. It wasn't any fellowshipping.
Like we call it second church, because, you know, we'll sit around and talk and all of that.
No parking lot ministry.
No parking lot ministry, none of that.
No. Gone.
Amen.
Out
the door.
Yes. After that last, gone. Yep.
Got my pocketbook on my shoulder. Let's go, right?
Out the side door. Yes, ma'am.
But God said, he saw something in you.
He did.
And said, I want you to do something else.
Yes.
So what do you do? What do you participate at the church? Do you do anything? Do you do praise and worship at the church?
I do some praise and worship.
Okay.
I do Sunday school. So I may teach the adults I love doing children's Sunday school. Love teaching the kids. So I do that. And every once in a while I may do the programs, you know, different things. And whenever we have programs or anything like that, and we're feeding, then I'm part of, you know, the kitchen committee.
The kitchen.
So I'm pretty hands-on.
Okay.
We have a feeding ministry too. So when I am off and available, because they do it, our congregation mostly are retired.
Okay.
So I am not quite there yet.
No, not yet. Right.
But when I do get opportunity, I do go out and help with the feeding ministry and organizing stuff. So yeah.
Do you feel that the members appreciate the fact that you are hands-on and working?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Because
that's
not always the case.
Right.
There are some people, there are some churches where the first lady does not.
Right.
They are the second row
person,
and that's it.
Yeah.
But that, is that a part of your, you think ministry is being the servant and helping?
I am. I'm a helper.
Okay.
If nothing else, I am a helper.
Okay.
And so I have to learn to, like I said, remember I'm there to help and not hinder, because sometimes we can help but get in the way, so we become more of a hindrance.
Right.
So I want to make sure that when I'm helping or doing my responsibility of helping, that I'm actually helping and I'm actually helping to serve the purpose and get towards the goal and not, you know, getting any strife. I want us to succeed. I want you to succeed.
Absolutely.
I want everybody to succeed.
I want everybody to succeed.
And if I can help you do that, then I will. If I can do that hands on, I will do that. If I can do that, just stand in the background, rooting you on, saying a prayer, whatever. Or if it's just leave me alone, I can do that too.
I can do that.
I can do that. It's gonna be hard, but I can do that too. That's what you need. I got you.
Right.
But yeah, so always being a help. So I am a servant. Okay. I am a helper. Okay. I learned that I am a protector, and advocate for people.
Yes,
so I'm very, that's something that's new and strange to me. I'm like, girl, where'd you get this from? As far as being the protector, and so really standing up for other people.
Okay.
And even like you said, being a first lady, covering my husband. So being his eyes and ears and really covering him.
Yes.
Even in prayer, but even in person. Like, okay we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I would take my heels off. We are not doing that.
Yes. Like I told my friend, I'm like, look, do I need to take my earring?
Right.
Where are we going?
Right.
I need you. Right.
Right. So,
it is covering him in prayer.
Yeah. Covering him in prayer, being his eyes and ears, you know, honey, you know, this is what's going on. Maybe you need to, take a look from this angle versus that angle. You come off a little strong, because he was in the military. He calls himself a professional soldier. I call him a professional warrior, because he is very in there. So,
okay.
So he's the rougher side of me and on the softer side of him.
So y'all compliment each other.
Okay. But yeah, I will be a warrior for him and my family. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And church members. So yeah.
And your church members.
Yeah.
And that's important. And I think the hindering, the helping versus the hindering, it's a good point. Because there are some people, there are one thing my father-in-law told me early on, which I knew because my mom was the first was a first lady.
Mm-hmm.
Is a first lady. Gonna always be a first lady.
Right.
But one thing that he always told me was, you know, just be mindful. You're dealing with church folks.
Yes.
Just be mindful of that, because you don't want to be a hindrance.
Right.
You don't want to hurt. And I think that can hurt pastors and ministries is first ladies not understanding how they can indeed be a hindrance. How do you think that can first ladies be a hindrance, you think, to a ministry?
stepping out of line.
Okay.
So talking too much.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Getting into business that doesn't mind them.
Right. But, mind the business that pay you. Okay.
Right. And it's not mine.
It is not mine. Right. Right. Okay.
Maybe trying to be too controlling. So maybe trying to be the pastor themselves.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. I just, even though, and it may be different for other people, but just knowing that we are a team. My husband and I, we are a team.
Absolutely.
And so sometimes I have to remind him that I am on your side. Okay. You know, we are a team.
Yeah.
But also knowing when to allow him to be the lead and stay in my place.
Stay in your place.
Stay in my place. Right. Even if he doesn't agree with me, it's staying in my place. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say that.
Okay. Yeah. So you have a beautiful daughter.
Yes.
Who's here watching with us.
Yay.
Caitlin, she is how old?
She's 13 years old.
She's 13 years old.
Eighth grade.
Yes.
Pray for us.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Right. So how do you help her as a PK? Because you are a PK.
I am a PK.
Yes. So how old was she?
She was four or five. 2017, six.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did y'all have a conversation with her as like to say, okay, daddy, we're going to go to this church. We're visiting this church. Or I don't know. Do you have a conversation with a 6-year-old and say, daddy's now the pastor? And so
I don't remember if we had a conversation, but I'm quite sure on the ride to church, you're like, where are we going? Or like, we're going to a different church.
You go to a different church. Okay.
And this is what's going to be happening. Okay. Or when we did start going, like I said, we never left after we got there. So it was more or less like, well, what can she do?
Okay.
Because she's a child.
Right.
And I need her to know what it's like, not just to come to church and she's not going to sleep in church.
Right.
She's not going to play on her phone in church.
Yes.
She's going to pay attention. She's going to be active.
Yes.
So when I was doing praise and worship, I would have her up there with me or I would have her read the scripture.
Okay.
We were still working on reading skills at that time.
Yes.
So read the scripture, singing a song. If we had a special program, then she may recite a poem or like now she's like part of the usher. So passing out the programs and things like that.
So teaching her also.
Yes. You're going to be active.
You're going to be active. You're not just going to go and come and sit.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Yes.
So I remember when my dad was appointed at his last church, I was 13. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anybody. It was not in the town that we were from. Didn't know anybody. It was new. So I sat with my mama.
Mm-hmm.
I sat with her. For I don't know, a month, couple of months. And one of the older ladies in the church came and said, okay, now it's time for you to go meet some people. Oh. Don't sit with your mama anymore.
Oh no.
That was so scary.
Oh wow.
But it taught me that I do it because I'm an introvert as well.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta go and you have to meet people. And then I started participating. Then my parents started, okay, you can sing, because I always loved to sing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, but it taught me you gotta go out and meet people and you gotta be a servant. And so we weren't allowed to just sit there and not participate. And I think that's also important is, as first ladies, having your children understand the importance of working and working in the kingdom. I keep saying the kingdom because that's what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah. Working in the kingdom and being a servant for God and having their own spiritual walk.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Very so how do you and your husband help her with that process of, This is why we're doing it. You just not coming to church, we come to church.
Right.
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 So there's a spiritual walk that you had to begin for yourself. So how do you, how have you taught her about faith and trusting God and prayer and all of that?
Well, we pray every night before we have our own little way of doing the Lord's Prayer.
Nighttime
that we've been doing since she was little.
Okay.
She don't like to pray with me as much at night, but
of course, so she's 13. Right.
But we had, you know, our ways of praying there. And whenever she would have, you know, she would say she was scared or she was nervous about something or something was bothering her. I'm like, okay, well, let's pray about it.
Right.
Let's talk to God about it.
Okay.
And so she'd be like, well, you pray. And so I would pray.
Okay.
And then as time went on, I'm like, okay, now you pray.
Mm-hmm.
Or she'd be like, mommy, what's wrong with you? Or, you know, acting a little squirrely, whatever. I was like, well, just pray for your mama, honey. Just pray for your mama.
Right.
And so I'm like, she's like, I don't know what to say. just pray.
Just talk to God. Okay.
Listening to gospel music and singing mm-hmm. and explaining different things to her. Just little Bible studies okay. and just always in church, of course. Mm-hmm. And so I remember one Sunday, she was younger, and we went to church to hear one of my friends preach. And I was like, Lord, let me know, give me a sign that you're in her heart, that you mm-hmm. are speaking to her.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, kids don't always say, but I said, just let me know that she hears you mm-hmm. and that she understands. And so we went to IHOP after that, and she took out her little journal and she started writing, and she was writing stuff, you know, about God is real and God loves me and all this stuff. I was like, thank you.
Right.
Yeah, like, Lord, I thank you for that. Right. And just different things. Okay. Answering, you know, just answering prayers. And she has a funny personality. So yeah. And she's a praiser.
Good.
So good. And I love to see that. And even when she does get nervous or scared, I'll tell you this. Okay, we have like a 20-minute ride to work or to school. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, you're going to start learning some scriptures because, you know, we're going to do this.
Okay.
So I was having her read Psalms 91.
Okay.
And so, of course, she's like, he who dwells in secret, you know, blah, blah. Yeah. And so eventually she was able to start reciting it without reading it. And then one morning she came to me and she said, Mommy, I'm scared about going to school. I think something bad is going to happen, mm-hmm. you know, et cetera. And I was like, okay, well, we got to start, you know, saying the word of God. We got to, you know, recite the scriptures. And so I was asking her, I was like, so what's coming to your heart? What's coming to your mind? I just need you to know Miss Lady was able to say that scripture in a bold.
Yes.
from beginning to end. And so many other ones like Proverbs 3:5-6.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
John 3:16.
Yeah.
I mean, just
okay.
The Psalms 23. So yeah. I mean, she was, and I was like, Lord, I thank you for
this.
So like, whenever she does need him, whenever she knows.
Mm-hmm.
So that's has that connection, and that made my mommy heart feel really
absolutely
good.
Absolutely.
So like she mumbled and fumbled, but she got it and she's able to use it when she needs it.
Right.
So.
And that's important. That's the important thing.
Yes.
That they know how to apply the word and know what to do when they are scared or anxious or stressed.
Yes.
How do you, and I don't know, this may not even be an issue for you guys, but how do you make sure she doesn't become envious of the church? And when I say that, sometimes pastors, leaders get so caught up in everything church that they sometimes put the family on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's what your husband does, but sometimes they get so caught up in everything leading the church and the people that they sometimes forget about the importance of their family.
Mm-hmm.
So has there ever been a time and I told her we're going to talk.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I feel like that always. I feel like that always. But to make sure, one, that she doesn't get lost in the shuffle. And so letting her know that she's important.
Right.
One, to us, which mm-hmm. she has a very unique relationship with her father and I. So she's a mommy and daddy's girl.
Yes.
So,
okay.
you know, she's an only child. So,
yes.
You know.
Okay.
So she knows that she's very important and she's very loved. Okay. And in the church, they give her attention too.
Okay.
And, you know, and if they don't, I make sure that it is there because you have to celebrate kids. If
you
don't celebrate them in the church and people outside celebrate them in the street, where are they going to go?
Where are they going to go?
They're
going
to go to the street. Right.
Go to sleep.
You go where you go. What do you say? You go where you're celebrating, not tolerating.
That's right.
So we celebrate her.
Okay.
And so at home, yeah. So whenever he's not available or he's out doing ministry, I make sure that home is taken care of.
Right.
And with her activities and stuff. So there has to be a balance.
It has to be a balance.
And balance.
I think sometimes that is an area that people have to work on, pastors. Mm-hmm. As well as their spouses have to work on making sure that their ears are balanced.
Yes.
Because children can become envious because if you are so busy taking care of your parishioners and their families, and not making sure that your family is taken care of, that's an area that children can become envious and not even want to go to church.
Exactly.
And exactly. So that's important to make sure that you have those boundaries yes. established. So,
yes. Okay. I was listening to a podcast. I don't know if I can say the preacher's name, but okay. he was, I won't say it.
Okay.
But he was speaking about how I think it was 75 or 80% of preacher's kids do not attend church as adults because of their experiences as children.
Right.
I was like,
that's amazing. That's a big that number.
That's huge.
That is
huge.
And your family should be your first ministry.
Exactly.
And so I feel like people would be held accountable.
Yeah.
To that, because if you did not make sure that your home was taken care of, mm-hmm. that your spouse knew that they were loved and appreciated, and that mm-hmm. your children knew, you're going to be held accountable to that. Yeah. So it's important to make sure that even as a first lady, you see your husband doing like veering off.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, 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 come back.
Right. Yes. I need you.
I need you
to mop this floor.
Right. Wash these dishes.
Go by the grocery store.
Exactly. You know. I need this lawn cut. If you're not yes. going to do it, make sure somebody else is going to do
exactly.
it. That's important. So.
Yes. Yes.
Communication is absolutely necessary.
Yes.
It's very key, very much so.
And to keep him balanced, like you said, to keep him balanced.
Okay.
Him and the somebody else or the yeah, somebody else had mentioned that, you know, the church is the bride of Christ. And so if the preacher is so worried about Christ's bride,
and
you're cheating.
You are cheating.
You are
absolutely
committing adultery with
very good
the
analogy.
Lord's wife. Yeah. So yeah. I was like, I can use that.
Honey, you're cheating.
Honey, you're cheating. That is not right. The Lord does not like that.
Exactly. He's not pleased.
At all.
So that's important. Very good. I love that analogy. That's good. That's good.
But yeah, just keeping him balanced and just but allowing him to be who he is and allowing him to be great. I always say, let your mate be great. So let people be great.
Mm-hmm.
And his light can shine as well as my light can shine without having to dim, you know, mm-hmm. either one. So just
very
being
important.
That supportive and. And I understand that it's important to him.
Yeah.
So
what do you like to do? How do you find time to relax? What do you like to do?
Okay. So I have different things.
Okay.
But okay. So the biggest thing is running.
Yes.
So, and that is just my time. I have my headphones in.
Okay.
I'm normally outside. So in nature. And that is the time that me and God get to talk.
Yeah.
He talks to me. I talk to him. He mm-hmm. reveals things to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes the conversation gets so good, I have to take my earphones out my ears, or I have to stop running so I can, you know, really
hear.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh.
Right.
Did you say that? Yeah. Oh, that was deep. Like,
Or,
all right, you know.
I hear you, Lord. Things,
yeah.
Okay.
Chastening.
Yeah.
But just to be, like I said, I just love being in his presence. So running is one. I love to eat. Love to eat. So that's the balance.
Okay.
Eating and running.
Yes. Yes.
Love spending time with my family.
Okay.
Love to travel. And I've learned to relax. So as far as just doing nothing.
Okay.
So as far as being able to sit on the couch and watch television, or just sit on the couch and listen to music, mm-hmm. or, you know, not having to do something.
Okay.
Because I'm a filler.
Yeah.
So I'll fill up time. I'll fill up space.
Okay.
You know, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I have to be very aware.
Okay.
Of when I'm doing that. I'm like, okay, just sit down.
And it's okay to
and
just
okay.
rest.
Yeah.
Right.
So you don't have to be, you're not doing anything wrong by mm-hmm. resting. God wants us to rest.
Absolutely.
We need rest. So.
Right. Jesus rested.
He did.
He really did.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, just a few more things to mm-hmm. talk about. We're going to do a little rapid fire. You ever heard of rapid fire?
I think you asked me a question. I shoot something back.
Yes.
Okay.
I ask you a question and the first thing that comes to mind.
That's dangerous.
It can't be, but we are okay.
Okay.
It's okay. It's a judge-free area.
Okay.
It's a safe space.
Okay, safe space. All right.
Okay.
I feel safe.
So, got some questions, and you just give me the first answer. Favorite scripture?
That's too long. Oh, my God. My favorite scripture. I have so many, but it is.
Okay.
My favorite scripture is Psalms 103.
Okay.
And doing that, so it was, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all was within me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
And forget not all his benefits.
And it just tells about the goodness of the Lord and how much he loves us. Yes, he forgives us as far as the east is from the west.
Yes.
And as sweet as the honey on the honeycomb.
Yes.
All that.
That was one of my dad's favorite scriptures.
Yes. So, Psalms 103.
Awesome. Yes. Psalm 103. What do you think the key to a good life is?
Acceptance.
Okay.
God. Okay. Having God in my life. What was the question?
What do you think are the keys to a good life?
Keys to a good life. Mm-hmm. Yes. A relationship with God.
Okay.
For one. Acceptance of what is. And we have choices. Just knowing you have choices.
You have choices. Good. Would you rather have regrets about actions or inactions? I saw that question. I was like, oh, that's a good one. Would you rather have regrets about actions, things you've done, or things you've not done?
Neither.
Okay.
I had to choose one, but neither. They're both not good to me.
Right.
Regretting something I have done or regretting
something that you have not done.
So I will say, as I've gotten older, do not want to regret inaction. So wishing wondering what would have happened had I. And I think I told you last year about a situation and I was like, all I can do is tell me no. You know, so it was kind of like, okay. But then I was like, girl, you're crazy. You know, what are you thinking about? But the fact that I did it, and it was more of a faith walk on that one. And so even when it didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to, I was still okay with it because I was like, I did it.
You did it.
I did it. I wouldn't have to wonder, like, oh,
if I wonder what would have happened had I not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think the inaction.
Yeah. Inaction. So because there's a lot of things that I wish I would have, could have, should have. And so, And so I'm older now.
Okay.
I'm older, so I'm more intentional about what I do.
Yes.
And so my actions are more, I'm more mature in my decision making. I'll say that.
Okay.
So yes, inaction.
Inaction.
There you go. See how
we got to talk it through.
There we go.
I know it's supposed to be rapid fire, but sometimes we have to talk it through. That's okay. It's okay. It's all right.
See, told you, long way. We have to talk this out.
Okay.
We have to analyze this thing.
And that's as counselors, what we do.
That's what we do.
We have to talk it out.
Yes.
And then you get to your answer and go, okay, yeah, that's the answer. So,
because you know what? I would have been in the car and be like, oh, I got to call her and tell her my answer. I need to change my mind.
Can we come back and record? Because right. I need to change my mind.
Tell them the next time I chose.
Right.
So, yes.
Okay. And last impulse buy.
Oh. Can't do that. Last impulse buy. What was the last thing I bought?
You don't have any? Do you think all the way through your things you buy?
Well, one, I don't need to be on the shopping site.
Okay.
But it may have been some shoes or something that I bought from some exercise clothes or something.
Okay.
That I don't need. So probably, yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah, just like press the button. Okay.
Like just right. Yep. That's what I did today. Just don't think. Think wrong. Think long, think wrong. Just get it. I deserve it. I work hard for it.
Oh, it's so pretty. Right? You like my new shoes? They're pretty. I'm still paying for them.
That's right. Klarna, four page.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
What is, and this isn't a rapid response.
I did not do that
rapid. Okay, it's okay. But what is one piece of advice that you've been given that has helped shape you?
Be myself, be authentic. And that has always been a prayer. Well, within the last couple of years, is to be authentic and to be myself. When I am myself and I know who I am, then it's easier for me to interact with other people because I'm not changing to be what they want me to be or what I think they want me to be.
Right.
I'm being who I am.
Yeah.
And so I don't have to change. And I can feel comfortable in my own skin. Mm-hmm. And you never have to question, you know, where I'm coming from.
Absolutely.
And I never have to question where I'm coming from.
Right.
So, I think just be authentic.
Okay.
Be okay with you.
Right.
You know, flaws and all. So,
flaws and all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. And then last question. What is one piece of advice that you would give to a first lady that may be just trying to figure it all out? Like they're in the space of, I just don't know what is going on. Right. I'm trying to support my husband. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find where I fit into mm-hmm. this ministry. What is one thing that you would tell a fellow first lady?
Just be you. Be who you are. Be patient with yourself.
Yeah.
Don't try to live up to other people's expectations. Mm-hmm. I know you talked about your introduction as far as the hats. Like right. You don't wear hats. So I don't like hats.
Right.
You know, so, okay. You know, why do I have to wear white on the first Sunday? You know, whatever.
Oh, right.
Why? What is that about? So,
oh my goodness. Yes.
All these questions.
All the questions.
All
yes.
the questions.
Right, right, right.
So just be you and find yourself. You're mm-hmm. where you fit in and what's going to work best for you. You will, regardless of what you do, so to speak, you'll mm-hmm. always be the first lady because you're married to the pastor.
Right.
But about finding, you know, what is your ministry? Mm-hmm. Where's your strength?
Right.
Where's your strength?
Okay.
And don't, if it is not your strength, if it's not your role, don't get in it. You know,
just stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. Right. And don't be afraid to grow so you can learn from yes. other people as well.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
Okay.
So the wisdom from the older women mm-hmm. have definitely, been good.
Okay.
And it may not necessarily be through talking, but through action
wow.
and stuff like that.
Right.
So just like
watching.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah. So you've gotten some advice from older women?
I have.
Okay.
Older
good.
Women and my first lady, she, and it's so funny, we don't have long conversations, but when I say long conversation, our conversation might be 30 seconds to a minute, less than 5 minutes, but she always leaves like a big nugget with
yeah.
me.
Okay.
It's like, and I'm like, oh my God, that was like good. Just imagine if we, you know, sat
yes.
down, you know, okay. but just, she just dropped nuggets and mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, wisdom,
right.
just pure wisdom.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Okay. And just, you just have to be you.
Okay.
And so.
And be okay with it.
And be okay with
and
it.
Be okay with
be
it.
Be okay with it. Because God loves you.
Yes, he does. Yes.
And you need to, and it's important to be, maybe not happy, so to speak, but, know that God has your best interest at heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So trust in him. So
trust
wherever
him.
You happen to question yourself or question things, God, he has the answer and he wants us to come to him. That's mm-hmm. what he wants us to do.
Yeah.
And he wants us to come and trust in him.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Thank you.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
For taking the time out to come and sit on the second row with me.
Yes.
And having this conversation. Yay. I appreciate you.
It's been fun.
It
thank
has
you.
Been fun.
You.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us on the second row. Please remember that you can catch us on all podcast platforms as well as on YouTube. I am Second Row Conversations Podcast. The email, you can email me at secondrowconversationspodcast@gmail.com. You can always catch us on, again, on all podcast platforms every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we are here to have this conversation on the second row. Thank you again. And before we leave, just remember, wherever you find yourself in life, wherever God has placed you, remember to accept it, embrace it, and flourish in it.
Flourish.
All right. Thank you again for joining us. See you next time.